You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and WeSawTheDevil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello, everyone. You are listening to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin, and I am here with a very quick Gabby Petito update. I've had a handful of episodes ready to go. I've been working on that Barry Morphew arrest affidavit, part two that I've been promising, as well as a series of other cases and missing persons as well. And then today's craziness in the Gabby Petito case happened. So I wanted to cover that. I think it's very much worthy of discussing because it kind of threw everyone for a loop. But before we get into that, I do have a little housekeeping. First, you can find us at WeSawTheDevil.com. From there, you can find us all of our social media channels, as well as our Patreon. If you're liking the show, loving the show, and want to financially back it, you can do so there and get a variety of things in return. Also, if you have not, well, even if you have, it's a new month, guys, WSDLove.com. Go there and you can enter. And basically, you can get free shit. All you have to do is enter, take 20 seconds, enter, and at the end of the month, so at the end of October now, one person will be chosen and you will get a random true crime gift. And if you leave a review on whichever platform it is on which you listen to podcasts, you get a double entry for that month. So that being said, guys, the winner of September's drawing is Chelsea Haney. Chelsea, expect an email from me soon at the email address that you listed and mail shortly thereafter. Again, guys, if any of you want in on October's, go to WSDLove.com. Take 20 seconds to fill out this really, really quick questionnaire. Leave a review for a double entry for the month. And at the end of the month, I will be picking another person. But Chelsea Haney, come on down. Beyond that, guys, it has been an absolutely insane week. So speaking directly to my patrons currently, guys, I have not forgotten you. I do have a Patreon-only episode coming this week for you. I hope all of you found your Amazon gift cards that I hid under your seats. Try not to spend it all in one place, okay? But I just wanted to let you know that I love you. You are appreciated. Apologies that things have been so insane this week. Yes, you do have an episode coming soon. And then finally, another live. And furthermore, I've been having a blast with all of just people who've joined our Discord. Check out in the show notes or also YouTube notes. We do have a Discord listed, and I've had a blast talking with all of you about the Gabby Petito case. I definitely hope to discuss other cases as they kind of come down the pipeline. Several of you have introduced me to cases that I'm not even familiar with. So if you would like to have a cool community where you can discuss cases, especially currently the Gabby Petito case, please check out our Discord at the link below. All right, guys, so let's get into the Gabby Petito news today. This isn't new news, but it's new since the last time I did a Gabby Petito update. And that is that Dog the Bounty Hunter is on the case. And I think I was watching the live stream and everyone was like in shock and awe when you see that bright yellow mullet walk up the driveway and knock on the door. Dog the Bounty Hunter is now officially on the case. The search seems to have tapered off from the Carlton Reserve and is now recently been focused on Fort DeSoto Park in St. Pinellas County. Recently, there have also been a handful of supposed sightings in Tennessee, Virginia, and North Carolina. Most of them, if you read the articles and the news, like your bullshitometer just kind of goes haywire, right? Well, over the weekend, there is one particular sighting that the media has taken particular interest in. And that is a sighting by 53-year-old Dennis Davis, an engineer from Florida who has been hiking the Appalachian Trail. And he claimed that he spoke with Brian Laundry on Saturday. He said, quote, "There is no doubt in my mind I spoke to Brian Laundry. None whatsoever." This past Saturday evening, Davis said that an obviously lost and confused man waved him down on Waterville Road, which is near the Appalachian Trail's border of North Carolina and Tennessee. The man asked for directions to California using only back roads and refused Davis's suggestion to take I-40. For those of you who are not familiar, I-40 is the highway, like interstate system. You know, I'm in Tennessee, that literally goes from west to east, east to west, but it goes directly through it, also through like North Carolina. Davis said that the man acted really nervous and talked about being in a fight with his girlfriend. He said, "Man, I'm lost." I said, "What are you trying to find?" And he said, "Me and my girlfriend got in a fight, but she called me, told me she loves me, and I have to get to California to see her." Davis did reach out to Dog the Bounty Hunter, who in turn sent him an audio file of Brian Laundrie's voice. And Davis said 100% that that confirmed that the man he spoke to was Brian Laundrie. He said the man drove a white or light colored pickup truck that looked like a Ford F-150 and wore a dark bandana on his head. Now, Brian can very much make it to California this way and avoid all major highways. It would take him across Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and then into California. Other people I've seen on Twitter have brought up the fact that there's also a California, North Carolina. There's a city called California, although I highly, highly, highly doubt that that's what he was referring to. But in closing on that, Haywood County, North Carolina officials are investigating more than 10 sightings and tips in the county, including this one from Davis. They have said that none of them have panned out, that they are investigating every single one that comes in, and that none of them have panned out or turned out to be valid. In regards to the Davis one, this one that a lot of people, myself included, potentially gave more credence, a little bit more believable than others. I have seen it reported both ways, although not from verified or trusted sources, that law enforcement has in fact found the man that Davis was speaking to and that it was also a bad lead, false lead. So again, that is unconfirmed because as of this morning, Monday morning, the 4th, I saw that Davis was just now speaking to law enforcement, that he was kind of like, he was felt a bit incredulous that no one from law enforcement had reached out to him, even though he called Dog and the local officials. So it's what's so frustrating with this case is that there have been so many sightings, so many leads. Obviously, most of them are false, right? But it seems like law enforcement isn't even, at least what we're seeing on our side, isn't even chasing down potential leads from people who may be a little bit more trustworthy or not have as much to gain from, you know, a big media stunt like that. It's what's so frustrating from time to time about true crime. But again, as I stated in the beginning, huge news this week concerning Cassie Laundrie. I think a lot of us have just, especially this week after the news a couple days ago that she was in fact at that campground came out, she's kind of been painted as a villain and lumped in with her family. Because at first we thought, you know, she was proven to be a big liar, but then the unexpected happened today. So the interview that blew all of this up was a brief one with ABC. And she was asked, you know, did you know that the van was back and she just said no. She said that she had not talked to Brian since he returned back from his trip. Now, then the confirmation of the family trip to Fort DeSoto happened, along with the fact that Cassie herself had been there. And that went viral with thousands of people taking to social media to show their disgust for Cassie. She even got her own hashtag, which if you know, like on Twitter, you've made it if people use you to shitpost and you get your own hashtag. So then on top of it all, journalists texted Stephen Bertolino and asked him, "Do you represent Brian or the parents?" And Bertolino replied, quote, "Cassie saw her brother Brian on September 1st when he stopped by her home and again on September 6th at Fort DeSoto Park. Law enforcement agencies are well aware of these dates. Any prior communication by Cassie that does not reflect these dates is simply a difference of relating an answer to a question misinterpreted by Cassie or poorly posed by the inquirer." The journalist then asked, "Does Cassie have a lawyer too or no?" And he said, "No." They also asked, "Can you clarify if you represent Brian or his parents or all three?" He represents all three, not Cassie. Alrighty then. In the immortal words of Billy Mays.
"But I'm not done yet."
Everyone has kind of moved from the Laundrie's home, protesting in front of it, over to Cassie Laundrie's house. As you can imagine, you know, with her first interview of saying, "I haven't spoken to him, I have no idea," people were like, "What a liar, what a bullshit liar. She's just like her parents, she's totally in on this." you know, blah, 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 blah. Then the message from the attorney confirming that, yep, she was there. And, you know, she's basically on her own, throwing her completely under the bus. So everyone's been pissed. Everyone's been really upset. Like, is this entire family impeding and prevent and keeping Brian hidden? Again, everybody moved over to Cassie's house, yelling, screaming, megaphones outside, protesting. Jonathan Lee Riches and some blonde lady who's been camped out in front of the laundry's home, particularly, which, by the way, if you are not aware, he is a complete and total tit. His entire claim to fame is filing as many frivolous lawsuits as humanly possible. He is an absolute professional troll and overall gross human being. There are countless, countless Google articles, news articles on him, and even a Wikipedia page. But he's the guy who is always there, basically bald, always wearing like anti-Biden or pro-Trump hat. And he attends with the blonde lady with the microphone. And they're just always screaming. So outside of Cassie's house, everyone's posted there protesting. Megaphone lady, you know, was in fine form as usual. And then suddenly, Cassie Laundrie and her husband open their front door and walk outside. And they proceed to answer questions from protesters and journalists for roughly 20 minutes. And first of all, no one expected that. But secondly, I can't believe that it was as calm as it was. People weren't shouting them down or really screaming at them. It was actually a fairly calm exchange. And guys, I am putting the link to the full video, to the full interview that Brian Enten just posted in the show notes below. You can also find that at newsnationnow.com. But in terms of Cassie Laundrie, guys, she seems genuine. She seems completely genuine. And a few key points here that she made and things that we learned. So again, it's been a point of confusion, especially over the last couple weeks, as to whether Brian really did fly home around August 17th while Gabby was in Salt Lake in a hotel. That was initially reported, but then people were like, well, did he? Did he come home? Did he move things in and out of a storage unit? Like, what happened there? So Cassie confirmed that he did, in fact, fly home to Florida and that she and her children FaceTimed with Gabby while Brian was home. Brian did not bring up any relationship problems, and she said it seemed like all was well. She was also asked if she ever witnessed them fight or if she had seen Brian abuse or hit Gabby. She said no, and not only that, that she had previously been in an abusive relationship herself and that if she had witnessed it, that she would not have stood for it. Also, don't forget the, you know, the way that abusers work, and you can see Brian, as he was manipulating the police as well, he likely did not show his own family, especially his own sister, that side of him. Cassie also confirmed that she saw Brian on the first, the day that he got back. Apparently, she had no idea he was coming back, and Brian's parents surprised her children at school with Brian in tow. She was surprised that he had come home, and she said that she had no clue that he was with the van, that he had the white van. She also confirmed that she saw him on the 6th at that campground for 5 to 6 hours. And perhaps the most like shocking slash telling exchange, she was asked whether she thinks Brian killed Gabby. And she said, I don't know. And then when asked if she thinks her parents are in on it all, she also replied, I don't know. She said she's just as baffled by her parents' silence and actions as everyone else is. And guys, she honestly seems super genuine. She and her husband both do. And obviously, I'm not a behavioral analyst or expert or anything like that, but like my bullshitometer definitely didn't go off with that. She seemed completely genuine and truth-telling, and like she really is just kind of in this. She says that she's lost her brother and she's lost her parents over this. And she said, quote, I'm in the boat where I'm getting ignored by my family and thrown under the bus by my family's attorney. So when asked if she was represented by Stephen Bertolino as well, she said no. And Bertolino, again, is representing just her parents and Brian. And I mean, come on, that kind of says it all right there, right? So after all of this, she and her husband just repeatedly asked the group to stop harassing their neighborhood and making her children cry. Since people have been posted at her house for the last 3 days screaming, she said that her children have been crying and unable to sleep for the last 3 days. Which brings me to my final question here, guys, is, what do you guys think about protesters who show up at the homes of people involved in cases? Like, you know, Casey Anthony's parents, Brian Laundrie, people who camp outside and scream into microphones. Do you think it's useful, helpful, efficient? Do you think it's pointless and disruptive and unfair to innocent neighbors and law enforcement? Because it does take resources. What side of the argument do you fall on? Do you think that protesting and inserting yourself into the real life, like on the pavement protests in front of people's houses makes a difference? Or do you think that it's just kind of a drain on law enforcement resources and accomplishes nothing? I want to know what you think. I've seen a lot of people debate that on Twitter, and I'm curious as to what our listeners think. But that is the Cassie Laundrie update for today, guys. Again, I have more Barry Morphew stuff coming out. He has a random court appearance next week. His girlfriend, well, suspected alleged girlfriend, was just arrested for trespassing at his old home to get a package for Barry. I mean, so much crazy stuff is happening, guys, and I wish I had the time to just cover all of it. But alas. But that is all coming. And again, for our Patreon patrons, you do have a Patreon-only episode coming this week, and then we will be scheduling our next live. And also for our patrons, don't forget, if you are an executive producer, you still have an open invitation to come on the show, where you pick the case that you are most interested in, and then you come on the show, and then we cover it together. So to anyone, any patron who's an executive producer, I want you to come on the show. So you can send me an email on Patreon or info@wesawthedevil.com, and let's start getting those slots filled. But that is it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. Until next crime.